Low energy prices have cut deep into state budgets that rely on a healthy demand for oil and gas. And public universities in places like New Mexico, Louisiana, and Wyoming are feeling the squeeze. The University of Wyoming in Laramie is coping with a $41 million reduction in state funding over 2 years. And that means the school's new president, Lori Nichols, is in a tough spot. President Nichols joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, first of all, you have declared a financial crisis at the University of Wyoming. Describe how that crisis is having an impact on the school.
You know, I have to say that overall, I don't think it has had a huge impact on the startup of our fall semester. It looks like our enrollment is going to be maybe down a little. And by that, I'm talking maybe a 150 or so students. I think overall, we've done quite well this fall.
Nevertheless, I see that you've cut several hundred jobs already. Is that true?
Well, we have eliminated vacancies thus far, and we have also rolled out this past summer, we rolled out an early retirement incentive program. As you can imagine, a university's payroll is almost all people, and that is true here, too. About 80% of our budget is personnel.
I'm also seeing, though, that some professors may be required to teach more because of some of those vacancies are with faculty. Is that true?
One of the first things I asked was just simply to look at what the teaching load of the faculty were. And so as I started looking at that data, it became clear to me that if we asked faculty to teach, for example, one more course per year, we could decrease our budget in adjuncts and part-time hires to the tune of about $2.5 million by just simply using our regular permanently hired faculty a little bit more in the classroom.
Could that have an impact on the research that those same faculty members are capable of doing?
It can, and I've heard a lot about that, and that is the downside to it. But we have tried really hard to say that for those faculty that are very research active, that we will take a look. I mean, this is a case-by-case basis.
Beyond cuts, I mean, in going down the line in year 2, 3, 4, do you see any possibility or any other way to make up the $41 million loss?
I don't know that we'll make up all of it, but we're working very hard right now on a revenue enhancement plan. The in-state tuition here is just really, really low. I mean, it's so affordable to go to the University of Wyoming for in-state students. And of course, that's the beauty of Wyoming is the state has stepped up for many years and has funded public higher education so that it has stayed very affordable for the citizens of the state. And I'm not suggesting major jumps in tuition here at all, but I think we're going to have to look at modest increases as we move forward, especially for in-state.
You know, President Nichols, I've spoken with a lot of university presidents in my time, and I fully understand that a major part of the job is to be, rightfully, each individual institution's sort of best cheerleader, to say, here's why you should support us, here's why you should go here. But if you forgive me for saying this, am I incorrect in saying that maybe you want to say more about the major impact that the $41 million cut's going to have, but don't feel like you can? Because to me, it seems significant, and I'm not quite sure I'm hearing that same sense of concern right now from you.
Well, I'm very concerned. I mean, you know, I'm a new president here. I don't know if you know that, but I've only been here 4 months. We actually started by developing a set of principles, and we just said, these are the things we hold sacred, and we are going to try very hard not to impact these things.
And what are those things?
Well, the first is just being true to our mission. You know, we are the public four-year institution in Wyoming. We need to be true to our mission of teaching, research, and service as a land-grant university. And our second was is we have to hang on to very high-quality academic programs, and we have to make sure students can be successful. And I would just say one more thing. I have tried to be very clear as I go out across the state that these budget cuts will have an impact. You can't take this much money out of the budget and not have an impact. But we also want to be very good team players. I mean, all state agencies are going through a budget cut in Wyoming.
That, I think, is an extraordinarily important point, and it actually leads me to my final question to you. The entire state, and you know, at the beginning of the conversation, we mentioned other states, New Mexico, Louisiana, Alaska, whose state economies are very dependent on energy, the energy sector, are going through a tough time now. And I'm wondering, when you look long term, you've just started, as you point out, but when you look long term to the distant future for the University of Wyoming, Do you feel like it's time to maybe encourage the state to diversify out of the energy sector a little bit more or embrace other fields that can soften the blow whenever we hit these periods of low energy prices?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And I do believe that. You know, I think energy will always be a major part of the Wyoming economy, but I think Wyoming has to seriously look at diversification. And there's no question but what the University of Wyoming can and will play a very strong role in that conversation.
Well, Lori Nichols is the president of the University of Wyoming. Thank you so much for your time today. It's much appreciated.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, it's a similar story in Alaska, a state that gets 90% of its general fund from oil revenue. Alaska's budget is currently about $3 billion in the red. And at the University of Alaska system, that means a $52 million reduction this year alone. But President Jim Johnson says he's cutting even more deeply than that so that the state can shore up investments in its K-12 system. President Johnson joins us now. And Mr. Johnson, why are you making these additional cuts?
It's about the talent of our people. And we're on the front line with our colleagues in K-12 on creating that talent that will then create a knowledge economy, a more diversified economy for Alaska's future.
But what about those folks in the nearer term who are, you know, in the University of Alaska now? I mean, those additional deeper cuts certainly must have an impact on them.
Oh, they certainly do. We reduced over 500 positions from last year to this year. In addition to that, we are looking at our structure. You know, we have 3 universities and 13 community colleges in our system. Just a little geography lesson here. Our 16 campuses are across our entire state. If you were to transpose Alaska onto the lower 48 states, as we call you, we would have a campus in Charleston, South Carolina, a campus in Iowa, a campus in South Dakota, and a campus in Oklahoma. Half of our campuses are not accessible by land. And we're looking very hard right now at how we're actually organized. We have 3 schools of education. Do we need 3 or 2 enough? How about 1? Can we use technology to reduce that infrastructure?
But, you know, say you're talking to an Alaskan high school senior right now who would like to go to the University of Alaska but is thinking, with all these cuts, the programs that I want, the professors that I want, I may not be there. So could you inadvertently be driving those young people out of the state who then might end up staying outside of Alaska?
Well, the pledge I make to that student is somewhere in the University of Alaska, you will have access to what you want to study. It may not be in your village. It may not be in your town. But it's going to be here in Alaska someplace. Frankly, though, we've got a bigger challenge. We have a high school dropout rate in Alaska of 29%. And then the next 40% don't even go on to college. So 69% of our average ninth graders out there in Alaska are not going to graduate from high school and not going to go on to college. So, yes, I'm certainly concerned about a brain drain of our smart young people leaving Alaska for college. I'm frankly more concerned about Alaskans who are deciding not to go on to college at all.
With those fundamentals, do you consider part of your job now to advocate to the state government that it's time for Alaska to diversify the areas in which it gets revenue for its general fund? I mean, being 90% dependent on oil, when the times are great, it's great for the state, right? But, you know, in times of low energy prices like now, it's awful to be that beholden to one sector. It certainly can't be good for Alaska or the laser-like focus that you have on education as a whole in the long run.
To emphasize your point even more, we rely on our state government more than any other state university system does for funding. At the same time, we advocate generally on behalf of a more diversified financial picture for our state.
Do you mean that it's time for Alaska to introduce a sales tax or an income tax? Two things it currently does not have.
I was not elected by the people of Alaska to make those kinds of decisions. I advocate for diversification, for stability, for consistency over time, for certainty. It is the number one issue, political issue in Alaska today, and I'm confident that in the coming legislative session, it'll be priority one of the governor and of the legislature in trying to resolve their very significant differences on this issue.
I keep thinking of that $52 million cut that you're facing this year. If these low oil prices persist for several more years, what could two, three, four more years of these kind of cuts do to the university system as a whole?
I can't see us simply shrinking down and shrinking and shrinking. And, I mean, that'll just reinforce the outflight of those who want to go to college and the decision not to go to college at all. During those years of big oil money, the University of Alaska system grew to offer 478 degree and certificate programs. We have brought it down to 445, and frankly, reviewing another 75 of those this year so that we can ensure that young person you asked about a minute ago, we can ensure that person somewhere in Alaska you can study this, and hopefully it'll even be in a stronger program because we've invested in one strong program as opposed to three.
Well, Jim Johnson is the president of the University of Alaska System. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.